email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Francois Brunel is a photographer based in Quebec in Canada. And for the last 23 years, he's been photographing strangers who look like twins. Isn't that it, Francois?
Yes.
That's it in a sentence. Good afternoon, good morning, and thanks for taking our call. How did this all begin, Francois?
Well, two things. I always saw lookalikes all over the place. And then I was told that I look at like a certain Mr. Bean that I didn't know who that was. And one day I was watching television and I saw myself taking a bath and the wall was coming down and all the kind of weird things happened to me. And then I thought, how come I'm in a movie? It looks like me so much. And then the program ended and I saw the letters, Mr. Bean. Then I said, okay, I think like I look like this character and people tell me that I look like this character. So I must look like that Mr. Bean. And I thought I looked like James Dean, Mr. Dean, not Mr. Yeah. Bean. So, but then after that, the idea came to me. I don't know why, morning, I guess I woke up and I told myself, wouldn't that be interesting to find two people who look the same, two perfect lookalikes, bring them together in the studio, and then they would react in some way, I guess. And I would take a picture of their reaction, and then I would it would give me a good photo. That's
the starting.
When it happened, when they get in to meet each other, they don't they are surprised for 2 seconds and that's it. So I didn't get what I wanted, to have them like being transfigured while I was doing the pictures, but I guess the picture came out anyways.
So I've seen your work, and it's spectacular how similar these complete strangers look. You obviously contacted Mr. Bean, Rowan Atkinson, and said, "Would you get your picture taken with me?" And he said,
"Well, I went to London, and it's a funny story. It's a little bit sad at the same time. I went to his office, but he told me it's too busy, and so I told I would write a letter of introduction. So I took 3 days to write a letter in my hotel room in near Shepherd's Bush Park. And then I went with my letter and my portfolio, and because I have the little mock-up of the book. Yeah. And finally, he wasn't there. Then I left the mock-up. He came back, and then they called me and said, "Yes, he saw your project. He read your letter, but he doesn't want to participate." And that's it. So I was a little bit... I don't know, sad, but then I said, okay, that's what it is, so that's fine. I mean, and I have lots of respect for the actor, so whatever he decides, because my project is you participate or you don't, but if you want to participate, that's fine. Yes. If you don't, that's fine as well, each one. But it would have been funny to have a picture of both of us, but anyways, it's game over now.
Yeah. And I suppose the appeal of your project is that these aren't famous people.
Yes. So that's why not being photographed with Mr. Atkinson doesn't bring any problem with me, because my project is about likeness between people. They could be famous, but I don't mind that, but they don't have to be famous. It's not about famous people. It's about people. So it's about your lookalike. It's about my lookalike. It's about your neighbor's lookalike. It's how come that without doing anything about it, you look like somebody else enough that people will think you're the other person.
It's a bit freaky.
Question.
Yes.
How come you look like someone else? What are you looking in the mirror? Are you looking at you in the mirror? Or are you looking at somebody else?
Whoa! Now we're getting heavy. Now we're getting philosophical. Your work attracted the attention of scientists at the Josep Carreras Leukemia Research Institute in Barcelona.
Yes.
And they, with your help, contacted some of the couples that you have photographed, some of these doppelganger couples.
Exactly.
And they've found that, which probably you would have predicted, but they now know in a scientific way that their DNA is quite similar.
Yes. Some parts of the DNA is similar. And I guess the parts that, because this discovery of Dr. Esteller is that some parts of the DNA are responsible for the shape of the nose, for the color of the eye, things like that. So he's approaching to find, his goal is to find exactly where, you could.
And your work also got the attention of independent TV producer Philip Kampf, here in Ireland, and he's on the phone now. How are you doing, Philip?
Hi, Ray. How are things?
Good. Say hello to Francois there.
Hello, Francois. Hey, lovely to talk to you again.
Yes, Philip. It's so nice to meet you, the man from the Pale.
That's it. Yeah, I still have your photograph you took of me in Talbot Street. It was great. Francois came over to Dublin a bit like the way he went to Rowan Atkinson and just said, I'm here. And I would say the amazing thing about it, he's a genuine, true artist, you know, and and I'm very lucky to know him, you know. And when you look at his work, it's really fascinating, and he's dedicated his life to it. So yeah. I'm delighted to have met him, you know.
So how did you get into Looky Likeys?
Well, we got into Looky Likeys quite by accident in 2015. Ray, because our past goes way back to Joe Maxey, yes. When we went up with ideas. And so my life is trying to come up with ideas, not particularly art. And I had this notion that about doing a thing on doppelgangers. And I sent a pitch into Channel 4 about a sort of entertainment show about people who look the same. Right. And it was back in 2015, because a lot of people back then were starting to do it on Facebook. There was a BBC journalist who found her match in England using Facebook. So we thought this could be a good angle. And in fairness, I was very naive. Our original pitch was actually a show that you probably couldn't make, you know, because there's a lot of things in it that Francois knows now that I know now, but I didn't know back then. But it was one of those things that you dream of. Like, we sent it to Channel 4 on, you know, say a Thursday, and on Friday we got a call saying we love this, you know, and that quite literally never happens, you know. Yeah. And so we ended up going down this road of, they gave us money to develop it, and the big thing they wanted us to do was to see could we actually prove that we could find doppelgangers. So we did a test. We got three graduates, Niamh, Harry and Terence. And we put a little thing up on YouTube, and we used social media, and they basically went online for a month saying, you know, if you look like me, come forward. And we just got very, very lucky. This girl came forward who looked very like Niamh, and we literally filmed it in the office that I'm sitting in here now. We put it up, we filmed it on a Saturday, we put it up on YouTube, and by the following Monday, sort of our world changed. Right. Like, we were getting... Okay. Millions of views, and Niamh.
We'll come back to the website in a moment. Yeah. But you were motivated by a personal journey.
Well, yeah, I'm adopted. I'm adopted. So throughout my life, people would say, "Geez, I thought I saw you in Greystones last week, but right. It wasn't you." And you know, and I'm sure people say that to you.
Yes.
But for me, every time someone said that to me, I would think, gosh, maybe that is my brother, you know? And I think that was the thing about when you're adopted and you don't know, you know, where you come from, or you tend to look at people walking up and down the street. Yes. And you go, and likewise, like my brother and sister are adopted as well. And from time to time, I'd see people like my brother who lives in America, Paul, and I'd say, oh my God, is that Paul's brother? You know? So I suppose that really got me interested in, and sort of got the idea going that, gosh, there could be someone out there that looks like me. Now, subsequently, since we've done all that, I have found out who my natural parents are, and I have met one of the families, and they're brilliant, they're amazing, and some of them really do look like me.
Right, okay, right.
Which was bizarre, as Francois says. It's a bit strange, but it's very strange when they're the most beautiful people on the planet. And they've made me very, very and welcome. But that was the thing. That was the thing that got me interested, you know. And then I discovered Francois's work, and I said, actually, this is great, you know. But we're definitely the jazz hands of doppelgangers, like Francois, in deep in the art of it, you know.
Yeah, and the scientists are saying, like, we're over 8 million. Oh, sorry, over 8 billion people on the planet now. So the odds of having a doppelganger are shortening, you know.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, that's what the theory of Dr. Yeah. Esteller, that out of the numbers, of course, each one of us may have or has a doppelganger out there, because the combinations are kind of limited at the end.
Yes, yeah, so although DNA is very complicated and the human genome is quite huge still, when you have 8 billion.
I would say, when we started off, we were very naive. We thought And like we got lucky. A lot of, like, when we put up our first thing, about 10,000 people said, if you've done it for Niamh, why can't you do it for us? But as we got into it, we built our Twin Stranger site quite by accident.
Yeah.
But we discovered that you actually need millions of faces to try and find a match. Like when we started off and we had 25,000 faces, you know, we met other people who said, that's not going to work. And actually, at the moment, we've about 10 million faces in our database. And even at that, it's, you know, so you do. That's why Francois's work is exceptional. To have so many great matches is incredible, because you do need to sort of get a good match. You need millions. And when I look back at how naive I was, with like our show to Channel 4 would have had, like, we'll find Ray Darcy's doppelganger, you know, yeah, and then we'll fool your mother, you know.
Right,
but actually, okay, your doppelganger might be 2 foot taller, yes, than you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and,
actually,
and what Francois does actually is he captures a millisecond of a moment, and that's what we found.
That's the art. That's the art in it.
That's the art.
And look, I was saying at the top of the show, Philip, that there are hundreds of Ray Darcy lookalikes out there. If I'm going to believe all the people who've approached me over the years to say that their brother, husband, uncle, work colleague, teammate look like me. But I think there's a standard look for a middle-aged Irish man. It's sort of grey, balding, blue eyes, pale skin. It's standard enough.
I've got your picture here on the RT website, and actually, because we would get it's sort of, it's global. Like, we had a Japanese TV station giving us, you know, 10 of their celebrities.
Oh, yes,
could you please find?
Yeah.
So, but I reckon it wouldn't be that difficult.
Okay, I'm throwing, here you go. Listen to this. This list, I'm throwing down the doppelganger gauntlet there. There it is, hitting the desk.
Okay.
So twinstrangers.net are going to find me a doppelganger. Francois, if we do find that person and they're agreeable, we'll travel to wherever you are and we'll get a photograph taken.
Brilliant.
That's the deal.
Yeah, sure.
Right? That's the
sure,
deal.
Okay. Absolutely. Right. Crack on.
Right. Francois Brunel, thank you so much. Merci. And Philip Camp, thank you. Okay, that's it.
Bye-bye, take care.
Bye-bye. So off they go to find a Ray Darcy doppelganger. That's it from us. Sarah and Cormac are on the way on Drive Time. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday evening. And I'll hit that button.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.